Does it kind of feel, with everything on the news and everything's been happening lately, like this is a dark time? I kind of sense it, right? With a month ago we had the craziness in Paris, all the just the tragedy that happened there. San Bernardino was what, a week ago, something like that. And even this week, they had to shut down all LA Unified School District because of terrorist threats. 640,000 kids stayed home from school. Over 1,000 schools got shut down because of these terrorist threats. And I can't think of anything lower than threatening a school of little kids that you're going to blow it up, right? So it feels dark. Like, it's definitely a dark time in our history. It's a dark time presently. It definitely feels like a darker time, and maybe it's just that we're more aware of it with social media. We hear things quick, and we hear everyone's voice, and maybe it's always been this way, but it feels dark for sure. Today, as we are looking at, talking about God's presence at Christmas time, we're going to be looking back at a time of history almost 3,000 years ago when it was extremely dark. Extremely dark. We're going to be looking back at about 800, about 750 BC, about 8th century BC, at the nation of Israel, God's people, a time when the Assyrians came in and conquered them, ravaged their land. They raped and pillaged and stole and murdered and enslaved the people and took them off, drug them off out of their own land. So that is a dark time. We would acknowledge that is a seriously dark time that the people were facing, that people faced in that. And that's the context of the prophet Isaiah speaking out in Isaiah chapter 9, that he writes this prophecy concerning that darkness that people were they were experiencing. The fear, the worry, the dread, the helplessness they were feeling, all that they were carrying with them, he responded to that was Isaiah chapter 9, a prophecy. And so we're going to look at that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. So you can open there in your Bibles. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9 about this prophecy, about the written to the people of Israel as they are just facing this real darkness of being enslaved and captured and all this sort of stuff, a darkness that we can relate to it, even though our darkness doesn't compare to what they were experiencing. But in the midst of our darkness, I think this speaks to us as well, that when we're having those feelings of hopelessness and dread and, oh man, our society and all the things wrong, there's such a darkness over us. Here's a prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7 once we're all there. All right, this is what it says. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. You feel the tone? What great news. I mean, think what these people are dealing with right now. And here's what he writes. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Those were the most northern regions of Israel, and the Assyrians attacked from the north. So they got it the worst, those two regions, Zebulun and Naphtali. So they really got ravaged. In the past, he humbled the land, of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. And this is the prophecy he makes from God. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. So in the midst of the darkness, they're feeling this darkness that they're, he says, hey, a light has dawned, a light is coming. Verse 3, you have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke. That's the thing that holds them down, the burden to carry. You have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. So this, and there's no more war. It's going to end the conflict. It's going to be done with all that. Why? Why? What's this great light? What's in the midst of this darkness? What's this light that's dawning? Verse 6, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, talking about the rule, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So what's the source of light in the midst of this darkness that they're experiencing, this heaviness, this burden, this weight of all that they're going through? He says, hold on, a light's coming, a new light's dawning. For to us a child is born, a son is given. Talk about Jesus Christ and about what we celebrate at Christmas. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The point of Christmas, what Christmas is all about, what we celebrate at Christmas, is this: that light has entered into the darkness. We see the darkness day to day. We see it on the news when we open your web browser, go straight to darkness. But in the midst of the darkness, a light has dawned. Just as in the beginning, when it was all darkness, and God said, "Let there be light," and light shone in the darkness. That was the first act of creation. And then at the fall, darkness entered in again through Adam, as Adam and Eve sinned against God. Sin entered in, darkness entered in, and through Jesus Christ, light is answering that darkness. That God sent Jesus in to be a light in the midst of the darkness. A new light has dawned in the midst of that. And when I'm talking about darkness, it's talking about sin, it's talking about fallenness, talking about the hurts of the world, and light as the holiness of Christ. John 3:19 says, this is the verdict: light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who loves evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into that light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the sin, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of all that, light is the answer through Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. And this light that Jesus brings into the world is going to be brought to completion in Revelation at the very end of the Bible. At the end of the book of Revelation, talks about with the new Jerusalem in heaven when Christ returns, that there will be no more sun, there's going to be no more light switches, there's going to be no more light bulbs, no LED, none of that, because Jesus is the light. Like, he is the source of light for all of creation. So it's returning back to that of Jesus being the light of God, being our light. So that's our foundational truth this morning. That's our starting point as we talk about Christmas today and the reason we celebrate and the true meaning of Christmas. This is it. The foundational truth, our starting point that we're going to build off of, is this: the answer for a dark world is the light of Christ. The answer to the dark world is the light of Christ. So as we're facing this darkness in our present society, of all the stuff that's going on, of terrorism and the fear that comes with that, and the fear of death and fear of bombings and fear of what could happen and fear of wars and fear of all that, in the midst of that darkness, the answer is the light of Christ. Because Jesus is the answer to that darkness, and that the real issue with all that going on, all these things that we experience, all this fear and worry and doubt and the darkness, the real issue is our sin. It's our fallenness, that we have been separated from God, and all this stuff is a result of that. All this darkness is a result of our fallenness, our separation from God, and Jesus comes to repair that, to fix it, to make it new, to restore us back to him. And it's so awesome because he did it by being present with us. And so at Christmas we celebrate that God became present here with us. He came down to earth. He hung with us. He was with us. He was a man, fully God, and his name, Emmanuel, God with us. And so that's the answer to the fear. That's the answer to the hopelessness. That's the answer to the depravity of the world. It's the answer to the terrorism. It's the answer to the mess that we see every day. It's the answer to all that. And the answer comes through Christmas, through Jesus Christ. So Christmas signifies, what's the point of Christmas? Christmas signifies the dawning of a new light. In the midst of a dark world, the dawning of a new light. Luke 2:10 says, the angels are appearing to the shepherds, and this is how they describe Jesus coming. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. John 1:4, we're talking about Jesus coming into the earth, Jesus as the Word and coming in flesh. He says, in him, in Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then in John 8, verse 12, this is how Jesus refers to himself when he's getting challenged on who he is. This is how he refers to himself. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the whole point of Christmas, the purpose of Christmas, is the light of the world entering in. Jesus entering in as a light, as an answer to the darkness. Okay, so understanding that that's the true purpose of Christmas. That's what we celebrate, that light entered in to answer the darkness. How do we respond? What does it have to do with you and I as we celebrate Christmas, as we reflect on Christmas, as we experience Christmas? What does that really mean, that truth? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, that's a truth that's changed you, and it changes our surroundings. And so what is that, but how do we respond? What's the response to that? And we know it's not Santa and Rudolph and Frosty and the Christmas tree and all those things. And like Pastor Terry said last week, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. So we're not saying, hey, that's all from the devil, meant to distract you from the true meaning. I think it's fine to do all those things, to celebrate all those, have all those elements in Christmas, as long as they don't replace the true element of Christmas, right? The light of God entering in this world as an answer to the darkness. As long as it doesn't replace that, as long as we keep our priorities, remember what it's really about, right? So those things are fine, as long as they don't usurp and trump and become the main thing about Christmas, that it's still about the main thing. All right, so then so that's our central truth this morning then. So this is going to be our main point, is this. What's the correct response? The right response to Christmas is our commitment to bring the light of Christ to the world. So what's the right response? How should we as believers respond to Christmas? What should Christmas trigger in us, the truth of Christmas? It's this, a commitment to bring the light of Christ to the world. Understanding this is the main point of Christmas, that the light of Christ entered in the midst of the darkness. We get to take part in that. We get to take part in the process of the light of Christ entering into the darkness. We get to play a role in that. And the role is this. Just as God sent Jesus into the world to be light, he was sent by the Father to be light into the world. In John 17, a passage we just looked at a couple weeks ago, Jesus prays for his disciples and for all those who are going to believe in his name. And he prays for them and he says, he's praying to the Father. He says, just as you sent me into the world, now I send them into the world. Father, you sent me to be the light, and now I'm sending them, and they're going to be light. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He says, you are the light of the world. And in verse 16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That we get to take part of the ultimate point of Christmas is that the we have a dark world, and God sends his light to be present in the world, to be a light, to answer to the darkness. And now Jesus says, okay, you guys, you're the light of the world. We have a part in this. So what's the right response is for us is to be, is a commitment to bring the light of Christ to the world. So it's more than Santa. It's more than even the great things like family time, which is awesome. I'm all about family time. But it's more than that. It's more than just an appreciation of God. Thank you for sending your son. I appreciate that. That's so great that you did that. It's more than just reflecting on that. It goes a step further of just appreciation of God. It's joining with him in the process of being light to the world, of bringing the light of Christ to the darkness of the world. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we do that? If we're saying, yes, that's the right response, that we join in bringing the light of Christ to the world, how do we do that? What does that look like for you and me? When I think about what's the right way to handle Christmas and really all life, what does that look like to join in that? Three-step process. First one right here. First thing, how do we do this? First thing we have to do is be present with Christ. We have to be present with Christ. If we're going to bring the light of Christ to the world, we must first experience the light of Christ. I mean, what makes Christmas so awesome is that God became present with us, and that God's presence is here with us. But I worry, not just the world, but I worry that us, believers, that maybe we haven't really experienced the presence of God. Like, maybe it's possible that God came to earth through Jesus Christ. He's changed our lives. He has impact on us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. But yet, we don't really experience that. We maybe don't experience the presence of God in a real tangible way in our lives. We don't really experience that for us. And we just kind of miss out. We pray, receive Christ, you know, forgive my sins. We go to church. But in all reality, we just kind of live life. And we live like the presence of God isn't there. Like we don't really experience that presence of Christ in our life. And you say, well, Tom, I know he's everywhere. He's present right here. And there's no, you know, Psalms tells me there's no way I can go away from your presence. So we know he's here. Yes, he's here. He has presence. But I worry that we are not present with him, that we don't experience that presence. A little illustration. Do you guys know right now there are radio waves just flying all over the place? You are surrounded by radio waves. Like here. Okay. Got our high-end technology. A little radio. Okay. Okay, this is happening right now all around us. Before I turned this on, this was going on. Radio waves. Whoa! That's been going on during this whole service, flying around us. But we never hear it. We don't experience it because we're not tuned into it, right? This is presence. This is going on, but we don't really experience it because we're not tuned into it. And in the same way, I think Christ is all around us. He's everywhere. He's present. We're not away from his presence. But just like those radio waves are flying all around it, we miss it because we're not tuned in to him. We're not tuned into his voice, tuned into what he's doing. We're tuned into other things. Our lives are dedicated, tuned in to our own worries, our own concerns. It's tuned in to job stuff or my to-do list. It's tuned in to entertainment things like TV, or I always got noise on the radio, or I always got my phone on, or I always got things happening. I'm always tuned in to something. Something. My brain is on something else at all times. And maybe tuned in to my own self-pity. Tuned in to unforgiveness, tuned in to all these different things. Our brain is engaged in these other things. Meanwhile, we miss the thing that's around us all the time, Christ's presence, because we're not really tuned into him. So he's present with us, but we're not really present with him. So we need to be present with Christ. If we're going to be the light of life, if we're going to be the light to the world, if we're going to join in God's plan to be light in the midst of the darkness, we need to be present with him. We need to spend time with Jesus. Talk to him, listen to him, walk with him, live with him, experience him. And this is partly done by carving out time where we turn everything else off. We turn off the other relationships, we turn off the TV, we turn off the phone, we turn off everything, we get away. So that it's partly done by that, by carving out time and listening, being present with God. So that is partly done with that. And is setting aside time, saying, this is time where I am with God, I'm with Christ, and I'm going to experience the presence of Christ. So that's part of it, is those times of reading his word, of intentionally praying, of being focused and dedicating that time to him. So it's partly done by that, but it doesn't just end there. And then it carries on, though, as we then live everyday life, too. Because if it's just about that 30 minutes in the morning or whatever, that's great. But then we end that time and continue on, then we kind of miss out on the presence. So then it's about taking that with us as we live life, if we go through the day-to-day, as we're doing the dishes or driving to work or filling up the gas tank or at your job or whatever it is that you're doing, whatever your day looks like, continuing to experience the presence of God, being present with him. You guys get that? You see how that works? So it's as we do that, we begin to know him. We begin to love him, and it changes us. Something happens inside of us. But if we don't do that, if we're not really experiencing the presence of God, it just shuts the whole thing down. Like this is a necessary prerequisite to be able to be the light of Christ to the world, is experiencing that light in the first place. I worry that our lives aren't all that different than everyone else's life. And you take a darkness and a turned off light bulb, and they both look like darkness. Right, and I worry that that's how a lot of us live. It's just with light, Christ isn't even there. And so the first thing we have to do, if we're going to be the light of Christ this Christmas, is to be present with him, to experience him, be tuned into him. Okay, that's the first thing. So be present with Christ. Second, be present with people. Be present with people. What made Christmas so great? God entered in and was present with people. If we're going to be the light of Christ, we need to be present with people. And you could be like, Tom, hello, have you seen Long Beach? Try to get away from people. You're always present with people. I mean, dang, my elbow's bumping against someone all the time. Like, we're just around people all the time. Just like the radio waves are flying by, just like Christ is always with us, but we're not really present with him, I would argue that we're always around people, but we're not really present with them. You guys get what I'm saying about being present? It's not just about being near, it's about being with them, being intentional, being intentional within those relationships, spending time with people, being available to people. Talking about investing in relationships to be present with them. So if we're gonna be the light of Christ, so we have to experience this, we have to experience Christ in that way, and then we have to be with people to be able to share that, right? We have to have those relationships. We have to invest in relationships with people to be available to them. And this is more than just, I'm really good in a party. You know, I can tell jokes, I'm witty, I can, I can be the center of the room, all that. Real entertaining. This is deeper than that. I challenge you to go deeper with people. Take people out to lunch. Sit down with people. Invite them over. Ask questions. Listen to the answers. Be there for them. Be present with people. And this really involves a love of people, because you can't just do it selfishly. Because selfishly, I want to tell the good jokes, and I want to be popular, and I want to be the center. But this is talking about putting them at the center and making the time be about them. And that takes a real love for people. So much so that when they ask Jesus, hey, what's the most important thing? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He says, this is so important. If you're going to be my church, if you're going to be my light, that you love people, that you're present with them, And it's not me-centered way, but they get to be the center and allow them to that role to be able to invest in that way. So it's not enough to just be present with Christ. We also have to be present with people. And imagine, like, you know, Christmas, we spend so many resources on a wrapped box, right? We put a gift in a box, and we wrap it, and we hand it to someone, and this is my act of love, is this box. What if, I mean, just imagine what would happen is if we had a different culture and said, no, we're not going to do that. Instead, my gift is going to be my time, my presence, take them out to a meal, spend time with somebody in that way, just investing in them and engaging intentionally with someone. Imagine the difference that can make about how present we could be with people if we were carved out. Because a lot of us were like, I don't got the resources, I don't got the time. But I'm saying this matters. If the whole point of Christmas is light entering into the darkness, and we have a role in that, in the light being spread in the darkness, man, we got to prioritize this and set aside resources to do it, set aside time to do it, and really a commitment to do this, to be present with people. Okay, so we have to be present with Christ, right? So we can experience that light. We got to be present with people. All right, because if it just sits here, if it's just about me and my relationship with God, and if it just rests there, then we're missing out. So we've got to be present with people. And then third, this is the third step in this, we then have to be light to people. Be light to people. So it's not just enough to be present with them. We have to be light to them. It's about being intentional about being the light of Christ to them, representing Christ to them. Because I don't know about you, but for me, it takes intent to do this. Because if I'm hanging with someone, the conversation doesn't naturally go there, to Jesus Christ. It doesn't naturally go to spiritual things. It doesn't naturally go to the encouragement of Christ. It doesn't naturally go to that. It takes some intent to do that. But if we're to be if the light of Christ is in us and we're with people, we have to take that one more step and be light to people. Because for a lot of us, all of us, I would say, naturally the conversation, it rests on sports, it rests on the weather, it rests on my job, it rests on this experience, it rests on that crazy thing that happened at Costco, it rests on movies, it rests on whatever, right? Small talk. And I would challenge you to say, let's be intentional about being the light of Christ to people. And light of Christ doesn't mean, come here, I gotta hit you with something, I'm gonna hit you over the head with this Bible. It means loving that person, and being intentional about taking the conversation in those directions of Christ. And you might be thinking, well, hold on, Tom, how are we the light? Because really, Jesus is the light. So which is it? Is Jesus the light, or we're the light? Or this is coming off kind of self-important because Jesus is the light. Yes, Jesus is the light. Here's a way I like to describe it, and I think I've used this before, but it's kind of like At night, in the darkness, what's our source of light? Moon. Moon's a light. You know what the moon is? It's a big rock. There's no light in the moon. The moon on its own is just a big rock. It is not light. All right? Where does the moon get its light? It reflects from the sun. And in the midst of the darkness, we look at the moon and it lights up. Wow, look at that moon. It's so light in the midst of that darkness. Meanwhile, it's just a big rock. Well, in this, you and me, we're the moon, okay? We're a bunch of rocks. We got no light. We're not the source of light. But in the midst of the darkness, when the light from the sun reflects off of them, woo, brights up the light, you know, lights up the star, the sky. So when I say we're the light, that's what I'm talking about. So we need to reflect that, right? We need to be a source. So we're not the source of light, but we need to be to have the source reflecting off of us. So as we're experiencing the light of Christ, we need to be present with people. And not just be present, but we need to reflect that light. We need to be able to bring the conversation there, be about that thing, and make that a priority. And to help in doing this, to help to really be the light, I think it's so important. At Christmas should remind us of this all year round, but especially Christmas should remind us of this as we celebrate light entering into the darkness, to continue to reflect on what Christ has done for you. Because if that's on the forefront of your mind, what Christ has done for you, if you're constantly reflecting on that and dwelling on that, it comes out so much easier and so much more natural. But if you've kind of forgotten it and you're just about today and doing my stuff, and then that opportunity arises and you say, somebody talks to you about, oh man, it's so hard, the Christmas season, and I just, all the worries I have and the doubts, and I don't even know what the point is. And say, in that moment where you like have gift drop an opportunity to talk about Christ, then it's hard if your brain's not already there. But if you've been reflecting on what Christ has done for you, if you've just been reminded of how he's worked in your life and the miraculous things like restoring sight, or the miraculous things like, man, I was so messed up and now I'm less messed up. Woo! Amen. But so at that moment to be able to say, oh man, I hear you, but I know why Christmas is so important to me. I'm so thankful because that's when Christ entered into our world and that's made a huge difference for me. And just being willing to do that. Not in an uncomfortable, forced sort of way, but in a loving, I care about this person in front of me sort of way. I'm going to be the light of Christ to them. So it means, so for me, I know it's helpful to always be reflecting and bringing to mind, calling to mind what Christ has done for me so that it quickly comes out. If it's on my frontal lobe, it quickly comes out, right? I just saw Star Wars last night, and it's on my frontal lobe, right? So if anybody mentioned Star Wars, I was, oh man, did you see it? I'm just ready to dive into that conversation. In the same way, if we're just reflecting on what Jesus has done for me, as soon as there's a chance to be like, oh my gosh, let me tell you about my Savior. Oh my gosh, so look what, I love Christmas because that's when Jesus came in. Look what, and this is what he did for me. And just be able to be ready to do that. So that helps us to do that in a comfortable, non-threatening, non-pushy sort of way, but just in a real love for that person. So that helps in our, and also helps in our own walk with Christ too, honestly, right? Because it helps our faith, it helps our trust in him, remembering what he's done, and also helps our obedience. Right, remembering what he's done for us, I can say yes to him. So lots of good reasons to do that. Okay, so point of Christmas. We have a dark world. God sends his light, Jesus Christ, into the world to be light in the midst of the darkness. We get to play a part in that. That's the purpose of Christmas. We get to join in as his believers, as his church, as his people. We get to join in with that. How do we join in? Well, we need to experience the light of Christ. Right? So we need to be like this with God. We need to experience the presence of God in our lives. And as we do, we experience, we're present with Christ. We experience that light. But it can't just sit there. It can't just be about me and God thing. Then we need to be present with people. That we get to hang out with people and be with them. Not just, but that we really be present with them in an intentional sort of way. But it's not enough just to be intentional with them. The whole point of that relationship is so I can be present with them so that then I can then be light to them. To reflect the light of Christ from me to them. All right, so that's our correct response to Christmas. That's how we get to celebrate and join in with the joy of being part of it. Christmas is a joyful time. For all of you that have seen the light, have experienced the light, in the midst of this dark world, we can have joy because of the light of Christ. So our closing encouragement is this. This is our closing encouragement. This Christmas, join in with God's purpose for the holiday, sharing the light of Christ. sharing the light of Christ. If that's the point of Christmas, let's join in with that and experience the joy that comes with that. I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're going to have the worship band come forward. I purposely ended a little early because I want to end with some praise songs, some Christmas praise of celebrating the light entering into the dark world so we can walk out of here on our toes feeling good about what God has done for us this Christmas, and it helps us to be light to the world. So let's pray, and then we're going to stand together and worship the light of this world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for not leaving us in darkness. God, we confess sometimes we choose darkness, sometimes we settle in darkness, sometimes we're drawn to darkness, but right now in faith we proclaim we love your light. We're thankful for your light. God, I pray that light would be so prevalent in us, it would just spread to those around us, God. Help us to experience your presence this morning and going forward. Help us to settle for nothing less, and then that would lead to that change so we could be light for you. God, we love you, we thank you, and we celebrate you now. In Jesus' name, amen.